The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're doing and for all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Lord, we really cannot thank you enough. And while sometimes we say if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough, your desire is that we would use the one good tongue we have to lift our voice and to say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we extol you. We magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Lord, we don't just love you for what you've done, but we love you for who you are. But Lord, we know because of who you are, that what you did, that the sacrifice that you made for us on Calvary was an awesome sacrifice. So Father God, as we come gather together in your name, it is our hope and it is our prayer that you have been pleased with our praise, that you have been pleased with our offering unto you. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God, hide me that you would be seen. Silence me that you would be heard. For Lord, you said in your word that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Lord, our desire is to follow you. Even now, touch somebody's heart and somebody's spirit to receive your word. The seed is good. Lord, you put the onus and responsibility on us to prepare our hearts to receive your word. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you are physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so right now. We stand for the reading of the word. If you are not physically able, certainly we understand that. We will not take that as any form of disrespect. But respectfully, we're going to ask that you please do so. This morning, again, our scripture will come from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. As I've been doing these past time, and each time I try to stand to preach, I ask that you keep your Bibles open because I don't want you hearing from King. I want you hearing from the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. And so you need to have your Bible open. We're going to read the first four verses of 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll be reading from the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Amen. So it may read just a little bit different than yours, but I declare I am in the Word of God. Starting at verse 1, it says, Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I'll talk about some of the practical things that all of us have to deal with, even as children of God. Elijah was a man of God, amen? But on today, as part of our subject in our series, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider this subject, biblical principles for dealing with or even defeating depression. Biblical principles for dealing with or even defeating depression. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Again, this is training, amen? And so just like any other training, it has to be something that we consistently do, that you have to make the effort. So even if you got up and you trained on one day, it's a consistent training. So I got to ask, is anybody here still willing to do some training on today, amen? I know how it is in church, especially in the black church. So we say amen. Y'all say what? Oh, man, y'all messed up. Y'all messed up. Usually, I should say. Come on, somebody. Usually in the black church, if we say amen, y'all say what? So the point is, I'm saying is that I don't want to ask if you're willing for the training just because I said it, but I want to know who's in. Amen. So who's in? Amen. 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 When it comes to this idea of depression, depression, my brothers and my sisters, can happen to anyone at any age and to people of any race or ethnic group. One thing about depression is it affects nearly everyone, either through personal experience and or through depression in a family member or close friend. Now, understand that we all feel sad or moody, come on somebody, or low from time to time. Those become natural reactions to life's loss or life's struggles. But for some people, they experience those feelings more intensely and for longer periods of time, whether it be weeks, months, or even years. And the fact of the matter is they feel those things without them letting up, and as a result, they can actually change the way a person thinks and feels. So you got to ask yourself, what is depression anyway? And depression in general terms is a psychological condition that changes how you think or how you feel, but it also affects your social behavior and a sense of physical well-being. Now, a couple of quick things that we need to understand about this thought or about this topic of depression. First of all, depression doesn't always have to have a good reason. Come on, somebody. The other thing is that there are many different things that can cause depression. Depression is more than just ordinary sadness. Children also are not immune to depression. Depression, hear me today, is a real illness. But depression is also treatable. Another thing I want you all to know is that untreated depression is one of the most common causes of suicide. Now, unfortunately, depression, especially in the African-American community, depression is not always diagnosed because many of the symptoms mimic physical illness, such as sleep deprivation, appetite disturbances. But recognizing depression is actually the first step in dealing with it, treating it, or even defeating it. Everybody gets depressed at times. Some more than others. But even people in the Bible, because I know how we are, especially when we get saved, amen. Soon as we get saved, we become like Teflon. And that means that nothing negative ever happens to us. So I can already hear somebody thinking right now, Reverend, don't even speak that into my spirit. I ain't speaking nothing into your spirit except the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict your heart right now. Amen. And so everybody gets depressed. And why the Holy Spirit had me to do this is because he has to show some of us that even people in the Bible get depressed. And Elijah is an example. Now, Elijah was a tremendous spokesman for God for 3 years. He had been God's mouthpiece to the nation of Israel. Teach, Holy Ghost. All kinds of miracles had taken place through Elijah, and there was a great spiritual awakening in Israel just because of his ministry. But there was a person that did not like Elijah. Anybody have anybody that don't like you? Come on, somebody. Some of y'all saying, I got more than one. But there was a person who didn't like Elijah, whose name was Jezebel. She was queen of Israel. And she despised Elijah. Why? Partly because he had so much influence over the people, and also because he had challenged the 450 prophets of Baal and won. Of course, we know that Jezebel is the wife of King Ahab, and King Ahab had told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done. And it made her extremely angry. Let me tell you, not everybody is going to be happy when you do something right and when you do something good. See, not everybody wants to do right. So when you do right, that's going to make some folk hot under the collar. So that's where our story picks up here in 1 Kings 19, in the passage that we read. Eliza had become a prime candidate, Sister Graham, for depression. What do you mean, Pastor King? Well, listen to me. He was physically tired. He was emotionally exhausted. He was disappointed about how things had turned out. And now Jezebel was threatening his life. He was an emotional wreck with all kinds of emotional problems. He had fear. He had resentment. He had guilt. He had anger. He had loneliness and worry. I'm talking to somebody. Listen to me. Listen. There are times that we think that the people in the Bible aren't human. Amen. And so I need to paint the picture here that Elijah was just as much human as you and I. Amen. Not only was he human, he had all kinds of human emotions. Amen. And yes, he even became depressed. Hear me. He was so depressed. I don't have to make it up. It's in the Word of God. He was so depressed that he was ready to die. I mentioned earlier how depression is a common cause of suicide. And not only did Elijah want to die, the Bible says that he asked God to take his life. So why do you have to ask? You all know I'm an inquisitive Bible reader. So I had to ask myself, why had Elijah gotten so sad, even to become depressed? Well, in part because, Keeling, he had faulty thinking. Tell you what I mean when I say that. You do know that emotions are controlled by our thinking, our thoughts. Teaching this house, Holy Ghost. I said our emotions are controlled by our thinking or our thoughts. Now, listen, don't just take my word for it. I told you, don't hear from King, hear from the King of Kings. The Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, the NASB says, for as a man thinketh within himself, so is he. Listen. Your emotions are caused by how you interpret life. I'm talking to somebody in this house. Listen, that's one of the reasons why the Bible says, in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good report, if there's any excellence and in anything worthy of praise, think on these things. The NASB says, dwell on these things. Amen? So today, as we are talking about defeating depression, remember, I'm not talking about necessarily from a clinical aspect, because there are still some times that even when you've prayed and some things, you still might need to see some things clinically, but that not everything needs to get done, because there were no clinics back in Elijah's day. So I want to talk about, from a spiritual perspective, how we can get over or even defeat depression from a biblical principle standpoint. Amen. Remember, this is this idea of intending to live. It was in the song. How do you intend going forward? How are we going to live? Amen? Amen. And so the first biblical principle I want to introduce you to right from the text is, don't focus on feelings, focus on the facts. Why did Elijah get so depressed? I would contend because he He allowed his emotions, Griffith, to overpower his mind. Jezebel had threatened his life. Truth. So what does he do? Well, the Bible says in verse 3, it tells us that he was afraid and arose and ran for his life. Was the threat real? Yes, absolutely. Would Jezebel have killed Elijah? The answer is maybe. Because we'll never know, because the fact is she didn't end up killing, but she wanted to. But while we don't know that, we can speculate, but here's what we do know. We do know that Elijah stood up to, come on somebody, 450 prophets of Baal. Do me a favor, turn in your Bible back to chapter 18. Amen, amen. In chapter 18, right about the 20th verse, the Bible says that he let them build an altar to their God. Am I in the word of God? Then it says he let them pray. He then let them plead. He let them do everything in their power to show that Baal was real. And what happened? Nothing. Come on, somebody. Absolutely nothing. Baal did not answer their prayer. And of course, you know what Elijah did. The Bible says that he himself built an altar to the Lord. He dug a trench around the altar. He put wood on the altar. He laid an offering on the altar. I'm in the word of God. Then the Bible says he put water and he poured water on the altar. But not only did he pour water, he wanted to make sure the altar was wet. Come on, somebody. And so he poured water on it again. And then the Bible says he did it a third time. He wanted to make it was, quote unquote, show enough wet, huh? In fact, the altar was so wet that the Bible says that there was a trench full of water. Then the Bible said that Elijah prayed and fire came down from the Lord and it consumed the wood and the altar, but it also consumed the offering that was on the altar, and it consumed the water. Amen. But that's not all. The Bible says that the Lord's fire consumed the rocks and even the dust. That's what happened when Elijah prayed. I'm going somewhere. He proved to God, Deacon McFarland, that God is real and that God is powerful and that God is almighty. Now, he didn't run then. And there were 450. I know I'm going to paint this picture here. There were 450 prophets of Baal. And the Bible says he stood up to them. But now here we are in chapter 19, God Almighty, and Elijah runs for his life. You got to ask yourself, what's the difference? Sometimes we get angry at ourselves because we fall sometimes in one area, and when we've been so strong in another, and you got to ask yourself, what was the difference? And the difference was he was focused on his feelings. God Almighty. Can I be honest with you? You see, I'll be honest. When it comes to our feelings, even your pastor, there are some times and some days I don't very much feel like a Christian. It's rough out here in these streets. Come on, somebody. But even though I don't feel like I am, I know that I am. There are some days that I don't always feel very close to God. But that does not mean that God is not close to me. You see, feelings will often lie. But here's the fact. Hebrews 5 and 6 says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Don't base your actions on your feelings. Base them on the facts. You may not feel like you can make it, You may not feel like, I'm talking to somebody, you can take much more. You may not feel like it's going to get any better. But the fact of the matter is, in Romans 8 and 37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than, somebody say more than. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a fact. So that's a principle. The second principle I got right from this text is, don't compare yourself to other people. Look at what Elijah said in his prayer. Look back in the text in verse 4, part B. He says, oh Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. In other words, he was comparing himself with other people. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever done that? Have you ever said to yourself, if I could just be like so-and-so, if I could just have what so-and-so has, I would be happy, or I would at least be better off than I am. When you start comparing yourself with other people, you're asking for trouble. If you think that you are better than somebody else, that's pride. But if you think you're worse off than somebody else, then you're going to have envy. In the case of Elijah, teach Holy Ghost, he looked at himself as being in the same boat as his ancestors. And for him, that was disappointment. Elijah was who he was. And do you know who Elijah was? Again, you don't have to make it up. It's in the Word. James 5 and 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And guess what? It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Here's the point of me reading that scripture. Elijah was just like us. But God used him. He did not need to compare himself to anybody else. He was as unique as you are and as I am. Comparing yourself to other people will only lead you to problems and head you down the road of depression. Another principle I got straight from the text is, don't exaggerate the negative. Can I teach in this house? Don't exaggerate the negative. Why is it for some people when they make a mistake, instead of saying I made a mistake, they say I'm a total failure? For some, why is it instead of maybe when they fall, instead of saying, oh, I accidentally tripped, they say I'm a total klutz? Why is it that sometimes, and we've all been there, that maybe when they overeat, instead of saying, ooh, I ate too much, they say, I'm a pig? That's because we like to exaggerate the negative, and that will lead to a pity party. Now I got to get on. That's why I told you to keep your Bibles open. Watch this. We only read a few verses. We're going to walk through the text. Look at verse 10 in the text. In verse 10 of 1 Kings 19, Elijah said, he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. He says, I alone am left, and they seek my life, and they take it away. What is Elijah saying? First of all, you got to know that at this point, Elijah's having a pity party. He's having a pity party. He believes that, because you know how folk in the church are, he thinks he's the only one who'd been serving the Lord worthily. He thinks he's the only one who's been dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But look what the Lord said to Elijah in verse 18. He said, look at here, Elijah. I have left 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, in every mouth which has not kissed him. That's going to speak to somebody right now. In other words, he's saying, Elijah, yes, things are bad. But guess what? They're not as bad as you want to make them out to be. In other words, he's saying, Elijah, you really are not alone. You see, when we get depressed or when we head down the road of depression, we always exaggerate the negative. Even folk in the church, they think they're the only ones. Come on, somebody. Everything looks bad. The whole world is going to pot. When in actuality, Elijah was not really the only one who was remaining faithful to God. There were still 7,000 prophets who had not succumbed to the pagan religion. What happened, however, I'm talking to somebody, Elijah had exaggerated the problem and he was making his depression worse. So here's another principle I found. So you know when we start sliding, these aren't steps, so this isn't some 10-5-step program. That's not what this is about. But there's a slide here. So the next thing I need you all to see from the text is we're going to have to start taking care of your physical needs. Where'd you get that from? What do we do physically that affects us emotionally? That's why it's important for us to get a good night's sleep. We need to eat regular meals. We need to make sure that we are taking care of our personal hygiene. You heard the sister. We need to take care of our health. Amen. All of these things affect our mental health. And guess what? They affected Elijah's mental health. Look at what verse 5 said. We read that Elijah had laid down under a tree and he fell asleep. And the Bible says that an angel came by and touched him. An angel came by and touched him and said, get up and eat. Elijah looked around. Woo, good God Almighty. Have you ever been there? The Bible says he looked up and right by his head was a cake of bread. What? You know how we do in the modern day language, Muslim Monique? We say, woo, Jesus, won't he do it? Come on, somebody. He had a hot cake of bread that had been baked over some hot coals. And he had, wait a minute, not only had bread, the Bible says he had water. And so he ate and drank. But then the Bible says, unfortunately, do you know somebody like that? It's noonday, shades closed, pajamas on, and they go what? Back to sleep. I didn't hit somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Bible said he went back to sleep. Then wait a minute, but tell somebody, neighbor, thank God. He's not through with us yet. Because the Bible says in verse 7 that the angel came a second time and said, get up and eat again, for the journey is too much for you. So the Bible says that he ate and he drank and he was strengthened by the food that he needed, and he needed the proper rest and he needed the proper nourishment. Listen. One of probably the simplest ways that we got to make sure that we don't miss out on in dealing with our sadness or even our path of depression is rest and food. We have got to stop starving our bodies of rest and food and nourishment. Sometimes a good night's sleep does wonders for your attitude. When you are physically tired and mentally drained, you are prone to depression. If you're depressed, a big step is to take care of your physical needs. Why? Because physical health affects your emotional health. Couple more and I'm almost through. Another thing I saw right here in the text is that we're going to have to learn to take our problems to God. Stay off that social media. You got folk got a problem. They say, FB fam, Facebook fam, what y'all think about this? What? Twitter, trying to get answers to questions. Take your problems to God. Bible says in the text that at some point, Elijah went into a cave and he spent the night there. But in the morning, the Lord speaks to him in verse 9 and he asked him a question. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? God has spoken that into all of our spirit at one time or another. He said, put your name in it. What are you doing here? Mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, What are you doing here? Put your name in it. Elijah responded. In verse 10, he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He had just poured out all of his inner feelings to God. And let me tell you, God let Elijah let off some steam. God was not shocked by Elijah's complaints, and he won't be shocked by yours or mine's. He actually let Elijah get all that pent-up emotion out. Trust me, it's better for you to talk about it to the Lord than you spilling your guts on the internet. Let me ask you, don't raise your hand, have you ever been angry with God? I'll admit, I know I have. But you know what the best thing to do is? Talk to God about it and tell him how you feel. Because the truth is, God already knows. He already knows that you're disappointed. And guess what? He's big enough to take it. So as I get ready to close, here's something that hit me, however. So, Finley, there's a lot of times we talk in church and we use a lot of church speak. And we say, take it to the Lord in prayer. And we do. And we always talk about, can the Lord tell you what to do? And we always say, yes. But I want to take us a little further. And so why we need to take it to the Lord in prayer, and why we need to take our problems to the Lord in prayer, instead of just us walking away or maybe getting up off our knees feeling satisfied that we had done that and checked it off the box, the last thing I want you to see from this text is when you've done that, that point, we need to have a fresh encounter with God and find new direction from God. See, every time we go to the Lord in prayer, that should be a time to have a fresh encounter. That's why we're talking about how do you intend to live going forward. Because if you keep doing the same old thing, you're going to keep getting the same thing that you've always gotten. And unless you want something different, then you're going to have to have some. You're going to have to do it a different way. Pray, yes. Fall to your knees, yes. But when you do, instead of getting up angry and mad saying, what is that going to do? And prayer never works. Have a fresh encounter with God and find some new direction. Look at the text. It says in verses 11 and 12, God said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And the great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking it into pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing or small voice. Listen, there was wind, there was earthquake, there was fire. But God wasn't in any of that. And there are times when we come into church and we trying to shake, and the devil said, I ain't in that. Sometimes he said, no, it's a still voice. Because what got Elijah's attention was the still voice. It was a whisper. What are you saying, Pastor King? Even today, God speaks in stillness. Sometimes we're looking for the dramatic and the cataclysmic. But God reminded Elijah that he was still right there beside him. If you're depressed, feeling depressed, I need to encourage you. That's not the time for you to stop praying. That's not the time for you to stop reading your Bible. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you. Take up your Bible and go to a quiet place. Get away from the noise. Get away from the phone. Get away from email. Get away from social media. And if you need to, take a respite even from the church. But don't leave the church going to fix yourself. Leave going to, because you need to be in a quiet place. And you sit down and you read your Bible. You get alone with God and you let God love on you. There is no greater antidepressant than communication and fellowship with God. But not only will you find some joy and some peace, I declare that you're going to find new direction. Because right here in the text in verse 15, and I'm about to open the doors of the church, the Bible says that the Lord gave Elijah a new assignment. So for somebody, you're trying to figure out, Lord, do you still want to use me? And the answer is yes. Lord, can you still use me even in my state? And the answer is yes. Because in verse 15, the Bible says to Elijah, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. God essentially put Elijah back to work. And he wants to do that with some of you, whether it's back to work in ministry, back to work active at home, back to work active in community, but literally just getting back to work, meaning you can go ahead and step outside your bedroom and your house and get to working for the Lord. For somebody, you are living in your own little world. You're having your own little pity party, and you feel like all the planets are revolving around you. And for somebody, you saying, I'm not sure why God keeps waking me up because my life stinks. But God is saying to somebody, think outside yourself. And the way you do that is you literally need to get up and get out and go serve somebody else. The quickest way for you to begin to defeat depression is to quit sitting around in self-pity. But let God give you a new purpose and new direction. But you're going to have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone of self-pity. That's Christian survival training one-on-one. That's just basic stuff. But it's basic stuff from the Word of God. But you got to be willing to dig deeper into the Word. Dealing with and defeating depression. Don't focus on your feelings, focus on the facts. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't exaggerate the negative. Take care of your physical needs. Take your problems to God. And learn to have a fresh encounter with God and find some new direction from God. That's from this day, from this moment going forward. So who's in? The doors of the church are open. Amen, amen, amen. As you stand to your feet, none of that would be possible without the awesome plan of salvation.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.